and we are back. 303. I took a little vacation. Tech Guy was in Arizona, but now we're back. I know it doesn't feel like we took a break because we had some episodes pre-recorded, but this is the first time that the boys got to get together and chop it up. So we start with a little personal life updates, right, for each other. Good friendship. And then we get into Hawkeye stuff. Some disappointing Hawkeye stuff. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back, Washed Up Walk-Ons fans, episode 303 of the podcast. It genuinely feels like forever since we did one of these. I texted Kluver the other day and asked him if we actually officially retired and quit the podcast because it had been so long since any of us have even heard an update from him, which usually he's all over our ass. You got to do this, blah, blah, we got to record this. And then we didn't get any responses from him for like 10 days. So it felt a little lonely. Didn't know if we still had a podcast, but here we are. And I'm happy to be back with my friends, Kevin. It's good to talk to you, bud.
Hi, Drake.
It's good to know everyone's still alive. Because if you listened to DHT yesterday, there was a pretty funny bit that Drake and I had about vitamins and falling off a mountain. And that was pretty funny. I was in a place with mountains, Camelback Mountain, the Grand Canyon. I was in Phoenix, Arizona, the new land of Drake Kulik. Not the old land. Looks a little bit different than Muscatine. When's the last time you've been back to Muscatine, by the way?
I was back for a wedding, I believe. Oh, yeah. Kovac got married. And when Kovac got married, I went back to Muscatine for the day to see a couple family members and then pop back up to Iowa City. It was about 2 hours, but I was there.
How is it? Looking good?
They've tried to put lipstick on a pig out there a little bit, yeah.
Okay, cool. I mean, Marshalltown and Muscatine, they can't hold a candle to, you know, Homer Glenn. It is what it is.
We had exactly one house in Muscatine that compared to Kevin's. It was bigger, but exactly one.
Oof. I would love to know the actual numbers on this now. I'm sure you can find that because all that's like public knowledge. But I think growing up, like in the 2000s, mid 2000s, I'm pretty sure Marshalltown's biggest house, like most expensive house, maybe was $600,000. I swear to God. I mean, I don't know if there's $1 million house in Marshalltown.
Oh, Marshalltown's for sure poorer than Muscatine then.
Like, I could be wrong on that, but I've been to every corner of Marshalltown. There, I didn't see any houses that were, you know.
When's the last time you've been back around the M-Town, Luke?
Shit, that's a good question. It would have been the last time that Lauren and I, when was it? Oh, Lauren's coaching volleyball. She had a tournament in Cedar Falls. This was about a month ago, maybe 6 weeks ago, and we stayed overnight in Marshalltown to cut the drive in half. We ate, I don't even know. I don't even think we ate out. There's not a lot of play. Like, there's not a lot of plays. There's just not a lot going. They did renovate the bowling alley, which is exciting, right?
That's Marshalltown's pride and joy, right? They're state champs. Bowling every other year.
Runner up this year. Yeah, runner up. God damn it. They couldn't get her done. Couldn't get them pins to fall, but runner up. You know, they're a solid perennial force at the lanes, you know, and good for them, right? And good for them. They actually had a kid who was like pretty decent in basketball this year, too. He surpassed one of our best athletes of all time as the leading scorer in Marshalltown history. In basketball. So, you know, we got a few things going on over there. But yeah, we don't get back much because my family lives in Ankeny. They upgraded, you know? So it is what it is. It does feel like a little bit of a reunion though today. Phoenix, features better weather than all three of our hometowns. That's where I was. I did respond, Drake, when you did text me. You just didn't text me a lot when I was out there.
Yeah. So there was a long period of time where I forgot that you were out of town.
That was a person.
And I was just waiting for the text that never came. And I was like, huh. Okay.
After I told
And then
you.
After a while, I feel like I remembered you went on vacation, but I couldn't remember when your vacation actually was.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And also about me texting you guys all the time, we got to fucking record. Like, it may seem annoying to you. I wish you guys had my side of it. Like, the one who's planning this shit. And also, it's like twice a week. It's like Sunday.
Yeah, that was just a bit.
Okay. All right. Cool. Good news. And I dropped this to Drake yesterday, and I don't even know if I'm supposed to say anything about it, but I'm sure they won't mind because it's a little extra promo.
Well, here we are.
The guys at DRF, good people, right?
Great people.
And
are they extending that deal a little bit?
The deal's going to be extended, right? There's going to be some, you know, let's clap it up for the pod. There's going to be more claps for the pod here in a second, preemptively on some stuff. Shout out to George Kittle. We'll get to that in a second.
But crazy.
I was on a pod or a meeting with DRF and iHeart. It felt like I shouldn't have been there. I was asked too many questions and asked to provide too much opinion on a call that was that important. However, DRF is very interested. And there's a good chance that we keep them on as title sponsor, potentially for the next year. So things you just love to hear.
Imagine what they'd be offering us though if you bet more than $10.
I mean, imagine Kluver, if you didn't just embarrass us right in front of fucking everybody. No. We're never gonna let you live that down, dude. That one. Like, there's a lot of things about you that make me want to beat you up, right? You sure. know this.
Yeah.
There's only the fact that I really like you as a friend that keeps me from beating you up for all of the reasons I want to beat you up. Like, you're on the razor's edge, okay. But I just don't think you can really ever teeter over that line. But that bet almost teetered you over the line.
Okay. I'm honestly curious at what keeps me from not teetering over the line. Because, like, from my perspective, other than our shared experience at Iowa, I don't know if you and I would ever be friends, Drake.
Yeah, but see, we went through that together. That's the thing.
So that's what
that's holds- the thing, Kluver.
Okay.
We went through that together, and we not only did we just go through that together as teammates, any of the, you know, call it, I guess, 20 or however many made it through in our year.
16.
But or any just teammate of younger years, we lived together multiple years,
did
spent a whole lot of time together. So it's like you were one of the crew that made it through yep. what was one of the toughest experiences I think you can probably do from an athletic standpoint. And
I would have to.
That's what keeps you from getting beat up.
Yeah, because it's a wonder that you and I didn't fight. And the only thing that made that happen was because I'm a pussy.
You were non-combative.
I'm a pussy with a capital P. and Kevin and I did wrestle, and we talked about that recently. And you would have fought me on multiple occasions, but I'm just one, not that tough, and two, smart enough to not get into that situation. So it is what it is. Let's see, where was I going to go with that? Oh, because I think Kevin and I, like, if we just met on the street or, like, you know, wherever I would see Kevin, I don't know where Kevin hangs out. I don't know if he hangs out anywhere.
Under the bridge.
Under the bridge with the trolls. that's a Sunny reference for sure.
Why are you meeting people named Duncan under a bridge?
I got Oh fuck, that's good. I've been watching the new season, by the way.
Oh, it's so funny, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good. So yeah, that's interesting. We also
you think you and Kevin would be friends.
I think we would have a better chance.
Here's the thing. I don't think either of you guys would try and be friends with me other than if Kevin met me in the jiu-jitsu gym. Because outside of the gym, I don't really meet people, but inside the gym, everybody likes me. So
that's sort of what I'm insinuating. Yeah. Go ahead, Kev.
Drake, do you feel like it shouldn't be? Because like you're doing a combat sport against somebody, but it's so easy to be friends with people you do jiu-jitsu with, I feel like.
No, because jiu-jitsu teaches you so quickly to abandon your ego and to just see people for the genuine people that they are, and everybody's there to help each other.
I think that's what it is. I think that's what it is. Yeah, because like everyone gets humbled now and then, but like you figure it's like a contact sport. You know, like you are doing violent acts against each other. Well, you'd think it'd be one like, you know, you'd be able to hold a grudge against people, but it's the exact opposite.
Exact opposite. You make some of your closest friends in those spots.
And I think that
physically and literally you get really close.
Yeah. Nuts on face close. I think that's paralleled in wrestling. I'm always very, very impressed when I watch the Iowa wrestlers and any wrestlers, right? We're talking about, you know, these guys are known as like, oh, they're a different breed. Like they mentally are fucking elite and they are physically elite and they want nothing more than to win a wrestling match. It's all they give a fuck about. They're an athlete student, not a student athlete, and they're trying to wrestle motherfuckers. And when they lose, dude, my ego couldn't do it. I could not stand up and with a straight face shake that guy's hand. And it always amazes me how they like very cordially, you know, congratulate the other guy and walk off. Oh, dude, I don't know how. It's amazing. The sportsmanship is not something that I'm about. I'm not on that level. Couldn't do it. And so I think.
So cool. Did you ever go shake the team's hand after games? Or you just?
Yeah. We shook the other team's specialist's hand. Like, we would always go find the specialist. And then maybe if there was, like, a cool player and like that was definitely going to the NFL and I was walking past him, you know, I'd be like, hey, great game, bro. But, it didn't feel so personal like it is when you're rolling around with somebody or you're literally wrestling them, trying to pin them. Like you're so physically one-on-one, these guys were playing a game against, whereas jiu-jitsu and wrestling is like, I'm trying to manhandle you as a person, but it heightens that. And I, obviously you guys are speaking to that. So how is the jits going, Kev?
I need to know.
I mean, I'm getting better, you know, not good by any stretch of the word whatsoever, but we're getting better.
That's good. Choke some people out?
I get some taps now every now and then, so that's fine.
Yeah! What's your favorite move, Kev?
Oh, man, I love the lasso to the triangle. That's my favorite.
Oh, Drake's impressed. Drake's impressed for those watching
Holy
the YouTube.
Shit. For those of you that are listening, that is not a juvenile move whatsoever.
I mean, no, it's not easy. I don't always get it, but when I do, it's just like, oh, fuck yeah, that's.
It's like
it's a thrill, man. I'm not gonna lie.
I was gonna say,
I love me a good lasso triangle, boys and girls.
I was gonna say, I think there's a part of this that's maybe sexual, where you guys like lock it in and you get a little quick tap, like you feel everything just. About what you do just rolls right perfect. You hit the move, they tap, and it's like, oh, I could come, right? Like I could come a little bit. Is that feels like you're coming?
I mean, I guess it feels like you could actually murder that person in that moment if you wanted to.
And you like that a little bit.
I don't know, man. It's a weird high.
Drake's loving this, man. Drake's loving
it. Kevin, I am a full-fledged, put me in rehab and I will relapse the first day out, stone cold addict.
Yeah.
And I hope that you find my addiction and we become jiu-jitsu buddies, because that would be incredible.
And then we're going to make a
team. What about you, Jake? What's your favorite move to pull off? Like when you get that?
I'm a
like,
triangle guy. 100%. 100%. Yeah, I'm a triangle guy.
Triangles are nice.
I love to pull guard. And because playing from the bottom sets up so many triangles and my legs are pretty long for jujitsu from a jujitsu standpoint. And yeah, once I put them in a triangle, once I get my top leg over their shoulder, it's over, because I'll find the bottom leg somehow. And if I get my top leg over your shoulder, you can forget about it. I'll wake you up tomorrow.
I didn't peg Drake as a power bottom. Didn't see that one coming.
Well, that's the thing about jiu-jitsu, is the art of jiu-jitsu doesn't really come in the top game. That's kind of wrestling, and you know what I'm saying? The art of jiu-jitsu comes from being the guy who is in the vulnerable position, mm-hmm. and becoming the guy who is in the dominant position. Yeah. So that's all I tried to do when I got into it, was just kind of sit on my butt and figure out a way not to get absolutely dominated.
Yeah, I'd say most of the higher level belts in my gym prefer fighting bottom two.
Yeah, makes sense. Let's see, where was I going to go with that? Oh, Kev, I was just talking about this with Drake. By the way, there's people listening to this podcast right now, and it's like, I just love having this conversation. This is what happens when we don't talk for 2 weeks, right? So this is...
Yep, this is what happens.
This is just boys
catching up. And we'll get to wrestling because we are going to get a great segue into wrestling.
And we'll talk basketball, because Drake and I, we hit pretty hard on the old DH.
Oh, and we got to talk Leah Thomas, because you said we were talking Leah Thomas.
Well, I figure we bring it up, and we'll get to that too. Kev, do you do?
Because I hit a great joke. Yeah. It got appreciated a little bit in the Discord this morning.
It did. So if you're not subscribed, honestly, the Leah Thomas joke. Hey, if you're not far left, and like on the fighting line for trans rights, and like you're not gonna enjoy the joke, and that's okay if you are that person, but you're not gonna like the joke that Drake laid down. In the DHT episode. But if you do find like good old fashioned comedy, like good and funny stuff, then maybe subscribe. You could get it for
punchline.
It was a nice little drop. Kev, in your training outside of jiu-jitsu, the lifting, have you fucked around with isometric holds or pulls at all on like, not that I would.
I've literally just started getting into them. So okay. Like on my speed power days,
yeah,
I'll pair like an isometric with a plyometric followed by an explosive lift.
Yeah. Like
a band or chain lift. Yeah. Love that. I love it. I love them. Big fan of them now.
Yeah. Well, I just told Drake in our text message, I was like, Drake, he sent me a text about him deadlifting 410 and how he's getting strong again. And, I was like, you should, like, just thinking about training specifically for jits, where you're in a lot of positions that are sort of static, and you're holding tension in your muscles before you can work to a certain spot. That isometric and eccentric training, I figure would be really, really beneficial. So I told him to start doing some of that stuff, and he said he does a bunch of eccentric, but I wondered if you did any of that.
Yeah, no, it's good stuff, man. It's,
honestly,
I'm still learning, you know, on the exercise science stuff and little things, fitting the programming here and there. It's fun when you find something and you're like, yeah, that looks like a good movement. That was useful. You throw it in there and you like it.
Oh, dude, I agree. Like I'm school didn't teach us any of this stuff, but being in the field right now, I'm nerding out on like zone two training. And cardio stuff to build like higher aerobic base, alongside of like my anaerobic CrossFit power output type stuff. Fuck, man. It's I'm deep in the woods. It's awesome. Okay.
Don't you love how you can just learn all this stuff off Instagram and YouTube and,
oh yeah, dude, education's
Reddit
free.
If you wanted to
educate, we had to go to Iowa to play football and, you know, the sub product of that was we had to pay for some of our schooling, most of our schooling, all three of us. I could have been 3 years ahead at this point, knowledge wise, if I just would have gotten into this stuff without the football route. Now I'll never throw back that football route. I'll do it again. I would do another 5 years in Iowa City if they let me. Right. If you're making a joke about how old I look, Drake, you're...
Can you imagine how out of place you would be on that team?
Fuck, man. I would be grandpa.
Dude, you're 27 okay, and but, a super nerd.
Okay, but But I'd say Kluber probably still looks younger than Brady Ross did his senior year.
Oh, 100%.
Kluber can't look older than Brady Ross did. But he, in the way, so Kluber will be dead before he looks.
Dude, I'll have to be dead for 3 or 4 years.
Super out of place. Yeah.
I also am in better shape, like way better shape now than I was in college. Like, and I look more like an athlete. So I might fit in outside the hairline. I'd fit in way better now. Now I'm not going to have a goddamn thing in common with anybody on the team. Right. I'm going to live alone, eat alone. No one's going to talk to me, but hey, I might be able to zip a few back still, you know, at the collegiate level, at least. You know, let me get on that Seth Wallace dog team, right? That we need some dogs, right? I could still be a dog for 8 plays a game. But yeah, I know a whole lot more.
Well, let's take a quick second here to recognize that our show is sponsored by AdCraft. You guys are potentially wearing one of their pieces of merchandise right now, one of the beautiful T-shirts or hats or sweatshirts that we've printed with them. The designs are clean. The merch is quality. Their customer service is off the chain. The amount of stuff I've thrown at my guy, Colin, over at AdCraft has been a lot. It's always jumbled ideas and thoughts, and he finds a way, him and his team find a way to spit out ideas for the walk-on army that turn into reality, and they are 50% of our merchandise operation. They are everything that we need to provide quality merchandise to you guys, spit out the HBAM stuff, all the other designs. Their art team is amazing. Their customer service is amazing. The buying process, from the clean looking web stores to their shipping, processing, delivering to you guys all over the country, not just Iowa. It's amazing. Streamline the way you offer your custom merch by utilizing their risk-free web store service. You don't have to worry about collecting orders or setting up pickup time to distribute your orders. AdCraft ships directly to customers, which allows you to reach a larger audience. All you have to do is promote your store and collect the profit check. AdCraft is a trusted source for custom merchandise for many, including us, Grandview University Football, Nestle Purina, ADM, and much more. Visit www.adcraftwebstores.com to bring your custom merch to life. That's www.adcraftwebstores.com.
Anyway, let's segue into wrestling there after we talked about Jits for a little bit. The wrestlers, I think we got third, right? Placed third at Nationals.
We did get third, yeah.
And let's talk about that, Kevin, because I want to ask you if you think that it was a underwhelming performance.
Well, I'll start off with this, that we are a spoiled program when we're disappointed by third place.
Agreed.
But, 100%.
But yes, I think the team and the fan base are disappointed by third place. Asterisk on that though is, you know, we were a banged up team going into that game. We had a lot of guys not, you know, start off with the best wrestler in the nation, not wrestling for us this year, getting both his ACL fixed.
That's tough.
Understandable. But, you know, Ironman allegedly tore his ACL in the Big Tens. So he tried to go through it. He's out in the second round.
Fuck.
Cassiope wasn't 100%. Kemmer is dealing with a shoulder, you know.
These guys are feeling like us.
I mean, think about it. Wrestling's a tough physical sport, and these guys have been doing it their whole lives.
Oof.
Kemmer is what, like 25 years old? So,
yeah.
You to the listeners, that sounds young, but I'll ask this question to you guys. When did you guys in your sporting career start feeling like you actually got older and you weren't as nimble as you used to be? Because I would say, like, once I turned 22, I could actually notice that it took longer for me to warm up. You know, I didn't bounce back from injury as quickly. Like, these guys have some wear on the tires now, and they've been doing it for a long time.
So I'd love to hear.
Not a healthy team.
Yeah, I'd love to hear Drake's answer on that, just because his day to day was so
immediately after I was bedridden for the better part of 8 months. I don't know, dude. I had so many surgeries and doctor's appointments, and I was in and out of so many splints. Like, once that happened, my body used up every single drop of its healing ability to heal those two injuries and get me back for the next season. And then it said, okay, done healing. You deal with these.
Man, you know what's bullshit? Yeah,
so, I mean, like, you got guys at the end of their careers, and they're after a long season, it just, didn't look like they were in their prime.
There is a such thing as training age, right? And you see it in, like, for example, Olympic gymnastics, right? You've got the best gymnasts in the world, especially females. I mean, they're winning at they 14.
They peak when they're 18. Yeah.
Because
after you're 18, you're on the back half of your career.
Yeah. Because you've been swinging around on bars and rings for, I think they start gymnastics, not high level gymnastics, but it progressed. I think they started like 3 years old, 2-3 years old by doing somersaults and shit. So by the time you're in high school, you've been swinging around, your shoulders are so fucked, and your knees from all the floor routines. I mean, you're done. Like, you, and in gymnastics, you're training 6-8 hours a day. If you're competitive, it's just like your body eventually gives in where, you know, these wrestlers, same thing, real young, especially the really good ones. Dude, Kemmer's got to feel like a goddamn garbage bag at this point.
He's gone through so many injuries. And I don't know what I told you guys. I was at Nationals this year. So awesome experience for anyone who ever wants to go. But you could tell the crowd had a whole lot of respect for Michael Kemmerer's career. That, you know, people from other fan bases, anytime Kemmerer was getting a match or winning a match, and after his very last match for third place, got a standing ovation from the crowd. Just did a whole lot for Iowa wrestling and the sport of wrestling, too.
Yeah.
Awesome dude. We're sad to see him go.
We lose a lot of guys who have been staples. Who all do we lose? Kemmer?
Ironman.
So I'll start from the... Yeah, DeSanto's gone. DeSanto had a good meet. He got third. He lost to RBY again.
RBY's good.
You know, RBY just kind of got his number. Fucking hate the way he wrestles.
Me too.
It's just a style that he's got DeSanto's number. Ironman's done. Have the meet he wanted to, obviously, but life's tough without an ACL. Not everyone's Spencer Lee.
Even Spencer Lee isn't Spencer Lee.
Exactly. I want to say Muren's a senior, but I think he can come back with the COVID year.
Okay.
Caleb Young is done. The bowl is done.
Fuck.
He didn't have the meet. He didn't have the meet he wanted to have. He got fifth, I think. Yeah, fifth. Kemmerer's done. He got fourth.
So we lose over half of our starters.
We lose half of them. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's tough. That is tough. A lot of new faces.
A lot of new faces.
Do we lose Jacob Warner, or is he still in the classroom?
I think Warner stays.
Jacob Warner is going to be able to come back for a COVID year. Yeah.
Cool.
And he had a great, great meet. He far out.
Unreal meet.
He saved our streak.
Yeah. Of a finalist, yeah.
Yeah. 25 years with a finalist, I think, or something like that in a row. So that's elite. Yeah, tough. I mean, like you said, it's being spoiled when you get third place in the country and you're like, God damn, that is really disappointing. That's like when Alabama doesn't make the college football playoff. Like, let's be real. Like, that's the kind of that's where we're at with
Penn State had a great meet. Yeah, they had five national champions. Michigan was able to cherry picked a lot of guys and transferred to the program this year, so that's why they had a really good program this year. I doubt we'll see them at that same level next year.
Yeah,
it's going to come back down to Iowa, Penn State, as it always does. But
yep.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of young guys step up because those guys that are leaving, they have been the guy for the last 3-4 years. You know.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting. It's like,
hey,
guys replacing them aren't going to have a whole lot of experience, you know?
Nope. Next man in. Next man in. I know this, that when you've got those guys in front, right, and they've been there for so goddamn long, like they're wrestling the guys that are behind them. So those guys are going to be prepped. I mean, they're going to have seen the best of the best. So it'll be interesting.
And that's where Penn State has had our number over the past several years, is that their reload has been way stronger than ours.
Yeah.
And they're reloading with a guy who's now ranked number one in the country again. And Iowa just hasn't had as strong of development out of their second string guys that now become the first string. I don't know. It's like a streak of Penn State developing better than us.
It's tough. It's a good battle. Great rivalry. Kale Sanderson knows what the fuck he's doing too. That guy is decent. Decent. Drake and I, we maybe shit on the basketball teams on DHT. We might have shit on them, and we might shit on them here. In no disrespect,
I didn't really shit on them. I shit on them completely from a game plan standpoint, yeah. And the fact that Keegan Murray and Caitlin Clark both took combined the amount of shots that you would want one of them to take.
Yeah, I've
in
got
the second half and of got, a one and done game.
I've got the stats pulled up for Keegan. You're not going to like this. Other than the Michigan game that we won at Michigan, which happened to be the game that I bet the $10 on, Keegan Murray took a total of 13 shots in that game.
In the whole game.
In that game. But other than that Michigan game, his 18 shots against Richmond between both threes and regular field goals were the lowest shot total that he had since we're looking at January, like over a month, and probably ends up being one of the bottom three or four shot totals of the year. That's not exactly what we're looking for. Boys
and he shot more in the first half than he did the second half.
Yeah. And it doesn't help when he's 0 for 3 from 3. Yep. And he shot 8 of 15 from the field. So it's not good. Drake and I's assessment was basically that Keegan's got to have the ball in his hands more. And that's from both his standpoint and the rest of the team's standpoint. I think from watching, and I'm not fucking smart, I played basketball till senior year high school, no further. But it seemed to me that both the team, the other four guys that were out on the court, whoever they were, and Keegan were just a little bit too lackadaisical in getting the ball to him. That's my assessment. Kevin, I don't know if you got to watch that game versus Richmond. I think everybody who did is really sad about that result.
Yeah, I watched the game, and I won't pretend to be a basketball analyst by any means, but I do know sports, I feel like, a little bit. And we've kind of seen a trend here of the Hawkeyes not playing good in the tournament.
No.
I tweeted out that I had Iowa in the championship because this was the first time in many years that we were hot going in. You know, previous years, we had like really good regular seasons kind of faded down the stretch. I was playing his best basketball going in. So I'm like, I like it. I'm going to ride the Hawks all the way to the championship.
Your bracket got fucked.
Yeah. I mean, I only have one Final Four team left already. It's horrible. But, you know, I think you have to look at that objectively. And it's like, okay, what is going wrong in our process that we cannot operate and perform to the level that we know that we can come the tournament? And I'll use our personal experience as an example. Everyone knows that we had a pretty rough stretch of bowl games during our tenure up until our senior year.
Sure did.
You know, the old adage that KF, like the old formula he liked to use, is go down early, get the boys, you know, used to the city, acclimated, then we'll have a normal game week down there. Well, you know, tough LSU game our freshman year, get waxed by Tennessee, get waxed by Stanford, get waxed by Florida. It's like, okay, well, we have to reevaluate what we're doing.
We got to figure out how to stop these waxings.
Exactly. So, what do? We change up our bowl schedule. We go down a couple of days before, and we end up with a bowl win. And we get another one versus Mississippi State, then USC. So I think someone in that program has to take a step back and take an objective look at what are we doing here? How can we improve our process? Because what we are currently doing is not working in the postseason.
I like that analysis, Kevin. I really like that analysis. Now, here's another KF-ism, right? Sometimes it's about the Jimmies and Joes and not the X's and O's, right? And there's a lot that goes into the Jimmies and Joes. Iowa, I wouldn't say.
It simply was not the case.
What?
That it was about the Jimmies and the Joes in this situation.
I would argue it was. I was not an X's and O's team. Like, we don't run a lot of
sets. That's what I'm saying, is that we had the better Jimmies and Joes.
Right, and they didn't perform. That's what I'm saying.
That wasn't an issue for us of not having the Jimmies and Joes.
Well, but the Jimmies and Joes that we had, we have to find a way to run it through that and not just expect a five-out offense to get it done. That's what I'm saying. And, we just didn't do it. We just didn't do it. And it's sad, and we lost in the first round, and it's sad, and it's a 12 over a 5, which always happens, and it's sad. And Kevin, you weren't the only one to have Iowa. There was a fair amount of the Wash Up Walk-Ons ESPN Tournament Challenge bracket that we put together. Over 100 of you participating from the Patreon. Always cool things throughout the year to participate in like this if you are part of the Patreon. Currently, up in fourth place, tied for fourth place, Drizzy Drake Kulik.
Hey.
He's got Duke as his champion in Coach K's final year. Now, that could be a good bet. I actually had Duke out early. I thought they would choke, but not yet.
I almost did. Close game versus Michigan State.
And Michigan State, Izzo versus Krzyzewski, great matchup historically, both sort of legends in basketball. Others, I'm going to just... You know, I want to acknowledge brackets up there currently leading the group, just 10 points ahead of Drake, is Jay Byrne and David Delsberger, I believe is his name. Both active in the Patreon group for a while. C. Wayne and then Matt something and Drake right there at the top. So pretty cool. Whoever wins that is going to get some merch. I think top five. I'm going to figure out some merch packages for y'all. If you haven't, by the way, go to the Washed Up Walk-On store and buy that Walk-On t-shirt, Everything Earned. And buy that new Hawks by a Million t-shirt with the block design. I mean, they're kind of elite, right? And I know
that Walk-On shirt is sick.
Yeah, and I don't even have one yet. I need to get one so that I can fucking... We're going to extend that line too. The walk-on idea of just like that mentality, we're going to do some more of that shit. So we'll also probably do like a spring drop soon with some summer items. We got to come out with a bucket hat. We got to get a little Washed Up Walk-On's bucket hat action going.
H-Bam bucket hat.
Or an H-Bam bucket hat. Anyway, that was what happened with the men's. And then I said it on DHT. I think it was even more sad because we were a 2 seed. Caitlin Clark and the women couldn't get it done against Creighton. We also had a great little bit about the Lauren chick who was on Iowa, came back to Iowa City, ice in the fucking veins in front of 14,000, the biggest crowd for the women's tournament in the first round. And she fucking daggered us in all of Iowa City. And you know what? Good for her. And I think we might even
kudos to her.
We might try and get her on the podcast.
We're going to try and get her on the podcast.
Because she had to be feeling, I don't know what she identifies as, but her nuts were feeling big, right?
Wow.
Yeah. Her ovaries felt big.
So that's how you're segueing into
that's the transition into my favorite swimmer of all time. Somebody who would have wiped Drake in the 100 free.
Well, maybe in the 100, but that little pussy couldn't touch me in the 50.
Oh man. I don't want
like
to turn.
Where I went there.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of punnage here. I don't know where I want to go with this. I imagine Kevin doesn't want to talk about it at all. I am not one to get super one way or the other here, you know?
But you're pretty one way or the other here, eh?
This one seems like, I don't know about biological dudes competing against women. And that's just my opinion. I know from the exercise science and sort of biological standpoint that even though they are on hormones to decrease their testosterone levels and all that, that even if you get those levels down to the levels of a born female, that they went through puberty and evolved and grew up as a male, which means that they grew male muscular tissue. You can't, there's just absolutely no way to go back on that. And so they have an advantage. And I don't think that's fair. And it's wild to me that you got a trans female, I think is what they are called. I don't know. I put my foot in my mouth all through this thing. But I mean, how are we at a point in society where we let a guy step up there with nuts?
Listen, man, I had a very liberal friend of mine who texted me and said, "What in the fuck are we doing? People think women are supposed to compete against men now." Like, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
She's just as mind blown as everybody else. And that's somebody from the far left.
Yeah. And I think also, she's not the first person. I believe in the Olympics, the last Olympics in weightlifting, there was a biological male who transitioned and just absolutely crushed all the other girls in weightlifting, and they gave him or her the gold medal. I mean, what are we doing, huh? Like, and then let's roll it the other way, right? Are we okay with, you know, a girl going out there and getting fucking pancaked in a Division I football game? Like, maybe for the safety and both physical and mental health of our athletes, maybe we just create a third category of trans athletes, right? Or figure out something better.
But we probably shouldn't just allow dudes to keep dominating female sports. It's probably just not the direction that we want to go as a society.
I think
my opinion.
I think the funniest thing I saw was, so what happens when LeBron decides he wants to go to the WNBA? He's going to have 100 points a night and be dunking on these chicks. And we're just like going to be okay with that. Like, that's, I understand we're far from that, but it's setting precedent, right? It's like the legal system. Once one case in 1987 sets a precedent, then it gets fucking referenced as what makes it okay for something in 20, like, I don't know. Seems interesting to me. And I know that Drake dropped the rudder joke in the DHT episode, and it was pretty good.
Pretty good joke.
Kevin, any thoughts on that?
But I mean, seriously, like there's a wave, you know, when you go into the wall, there's a wave. And
for a second, I thought Josie was behind her on the wake. You know, wakeboarding, like we were at Pawpaw, you know?
Yeah.
Kevin, you want to provide any socio-political thoughts on transgender females and athletes in today's society, or you want to just skip that one?
I will offer this personal anecdote, and that is it. In 2012, I got fifth place at the state Illinois 400 meter dash track meet.
Hey, good for you.
And yeah, good for me. Round of applause. Humble brag. With a time of 49 seconds, 49.31 seconds.
It's fast.
The women's, I mean, it's good.
It's 20 seconds, about 20 seconds faster than I could have run a 400 at that time in our life.
The women Olympic champion, not 3 months later, ran a time of 49.55 that year.
Kevin would have won the Olympics.
As a 17-year-old who didn't even focus on track, didn't train for track.
And didn't get on the podium in his own state.
Can beat the best women in the world. And you just have to acknowledge that they're different playing fields. And if you can't acknowledge that, you're living in la-la land.
I agree. I think it's
there's Kevin's in it, though.
I think it's the most absurd when people try to make the argument that there is no biological advantage. And I'm just like, oh, well, then we're not talking to each other because you're ignoring the facts. yeah, man. And so what you're saying, Kevin, is you wish you would have transitioned so that you
no, what I'm saying is that there is a clear advantage, and it's
there was a fighter, Drake,
enormously unfair one.
There was an MMA fighter who was a guy in transition and then fucking literally broke the jaw of the
yep.
female opponent that he was up against. She was up against.
Sorry.
And that's like, okay, well, this isn't okay. So that's that. And then I guess we end with this. Let's end on a positive note, right? George Kittle. I don't know what came to him yesterday, why he did this.
It's because I was the last person to see him off to Italy.
Okay. That's good. So shout out to Drake.
I came over the night before.
Yeah.
And it was Christmas at the Kittles, dude. He had gotten shipped a bunch of stuff.
Oh, good for
him. He's like, here, you want this? Take this. It was dope.
So George is on another level. What happened was, if for anyone that's familiar, and I know several of our listener base is, Bussin' with the Boys, Taylor Lewan and Will Compton. Taylor went to Michigan. Will went to Nebraska. They both were in the league and at the Titans at one point. Will sort of been around a bunch of different places. They started a podcast. They're under Barstool. Now, I don't know. I'm not even going to make that joke. They're way funnier than us and have a way better operation. That's why they're with
way better operation.
Yeah. That's why they're with Barstool and we're not, but, and for a lot of other reasons. Anyway, they've been doing this campus tour since they both played in the Big Ten. They're going around in the spring doing this campus tour. And one of them tweeted, well, a lot of people are saying we should do a little stop in Iowa. George, they tagged George. Do you want to be there for that? And George barters. He gets out his fucking gold coins and says, well, I'll be there if you do a podcast with my boys at the Washed Up Walk-Ons. I was working out. I come back to my phone and it is blown the fuck up. And I'm like, what is going on? George is just like inserting us into big time podcast guests. And what do you know? But Will Compton hits us with the praying hands. Bet. I'm in. And Lewan was like, yeah, we'll do it. So I don't know what's happening. I don't know when it's going to happen, but it seems that we're on the trajectory to have Will Compton and or Taylor Lewan on the show.
I'm hoping I get to go to the bus, dude.
Honestly,
I'm here.
Honestly,
I'm here.
That's how we should do it. We should get you on the bus down there. And then
I barter with Theo. I'll be like, listen, I told Theo, he said he'll come. So I'll bring Theo and we'll come to the bus.
And they can do one with him and then one with us and fucking and you zoom us in to the and they've got the setup, they've got the TVs, and we could put together one hell of an episode talking Iowa.
Oh, we could. We could talk a lot of Iowa, Nebraska, Iowa, Michigan.
Oh, fucking A. Like that could be an episode right there, my friend.
We could have a lot of fun right there, boys.
I saw one of Will's followers and podcast fans say, we got to beat him before you go on their podcast because Will shit on him. Like, I know he's the boy, right? Like, he's Will
Compton. The boy. But the boy's heard the chirps before.
But the boy isn't – he doesn't have the antidote to getting a little shit on his face when he comes into an Iowa podcast. So it is what it is. And obviously, I think George would then join us for that episode. And I hope so. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. George Kittle's putting in the work. I made a tweet afterwards that, like, evidently George is on our payroll now. And he said, back up the truck. And I said, you're going to be disappointed with the paycheck from us compared to what the Niners are giving you every week in, during the season. So, you know, it is what it is. George is a legend for that, continues to be a legend, and we got to have him back on the show soon, and who knows, maybe it's with friends. Either of you have anything else that we'd like to bring to the 303 before we let this one go? Kevin?
Kevin, no, no. Good catching up with you, boys.
All right. Spring ball started today. We'll talk about that on
Oh, God. I saw those posts.
Yep.
And I closed my eyes and thought about it.
Ooh.
And it's still just as bad of a thought as it used to.
Hey, that's a long – that spring ball practice, that's a long practice, huh?
Hey, and I closed my eyes and thought about, like, how the last couple days of their life had been, knowing that spring ball is right on the horizon.
That anxiety?
Like, it sucks so bad.
Yeah.
Oh, I – thank God we don't have to do that anymore, boys.
Yeah, so
– even though I dream about being on the team, like, 4 or 5 nights a week,
yeah,
and I'm always in an anxiety situation where I'm late to get to somewhere, and I don't know where my uniform is, and I'm about to miss warm-ups, and it's the worst.
Wow, that's called PTSD. And we will talk about the you know, them starting spring ball, and pro day was Monday. So we're going to talk about that in combo with the boys entering the spring ball phase of the year. All of that will come on 304 on Monday. Look forward to that. But as always, thank you guys for joining us in 303. We hope you appreciated the episode. We hope we entertained you a little bit, and we'll talk to you guys next time. Peace.